Blog Talk Radio.
Basketball fans, welcome to the latest edition of Replay, the podcast devoted to women's basketball and specifically focusing on notable wins and games from the last 24 to 48 hours. I'm your host, Coach Bill, coming to you from the Big Apple, New York on this Wednesday, December 21st, as we are only just 4 days away from Christmas. We close in as today's pretty much the last day of the college schedule before the Christmas break and before Christmas comes. We're about a month and a half in now into the college season, so we've certainly settled in and we're getting a pretty good feel for the teams across the country, and there were certainly some notable games over the last 24-48 hours. We're going to primarily focus in on one specific game here over the next 20-25 minutes, and that was Notre Dame versus Michigan State. Notre Dame traveling to Michigan State last night and pulling out pretty much a methodical victory for the Fighting Irish, 79-61, as they were led by, they had balanced scoring once again. Breonna Turner with 19, Michaela Mabry with 19, Catherine Westbrook with 12 and 11, 11 points off the bench, actually, from Rike Ogunbowale, who did not start the game. But we're going to be joined here momentarily by the associate head coach for the Fighting Irish, and that will be Neil Ivey, and it's going to be a pleasure to bring her in. So let's reach out to South Bend and bring Neil in. Hi, Neil.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good this morning. I appreciate you joining me the day after and coming on board Replay.
You're welcome. Actually, it's afternoon now. It's noon. We got in super late last night. So I got my time a little bit messed up, but excited to be on your podcast again.
Well, no, you didn't get your times right on time. You joined us right on time, so that's what matters right now. But I want to quickly hit just a couple of program themes before we focus on last night's game. And one of them is personal to you because we haven't had you on since it happened. But earlier this month, beginning of the month, you were inducted into the Notre Dame Ring of Honor. And, you know, as I've said on this podcast before, I try and be very objective about all things women's basketball, but I cannot be objective when it comes to Neil Ivey. And I have to tell you, Neil, I got a chance to watch the video. I wound up telling you, privately. It literally brought me to tears. And I'm not trying to gain any points by that. I'm just being very honest. Just, you know, watching the video presentation they had with, you know, your former teammates, your coaches, you know, former players, current players, and watching you, you know, talk about your son and just, you know, your journey. The whole, it was really very, very moving. And, you know, just want to even get your thoughts now looking back on the whole night for you. And you actually did keep it together. You were trying hard not to cry. And I don't know how you didn't, because, again, I wasn't even involved and I was crying. But it was just really, honestly, a very special night for sure. Special presentation, and as I expressed to you, to watch Coach McGraw, you know, how hard it was for her to keep it together because of her feelings for you and obviously witnessing your journey, just really special stuff, Neil.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was very surreal. I was very, very, very overwhelmed with just gratitude, you know, emotion. It's kind of just a recap of, like you said, my journey, you know, for them to honor me in that way, I think it's the highest honor for athletics at Notre Dame, you know, with the basketball program. So I was extremely honored, extremely blessed, you know, that Notre Dame and Coach McGraw, they've just given me so much that just it all, I feel like just came full circle, everything that I've been through, the journey, you know, all of my experiences, the ups and downs, and, you know, sometimes people talk about it as success, but it's also the journey that, that happens before, and just to have all my family and friends there, and, all the coaches, my teammates, and former player Skyler, you know, so many people that just showed love. It was just, it was really overwhelming.
Well, you know, and just, you know, to finish on that, you know, it was just a wonderful tribute to somebody who, as Ruth Riley said, you know, nobody besides Coach McGraw has really had as much of an impact on Notre Dame women's basketball as you when you combine what you did as a player and then now your tenure as a coach, which has been distinguishable. And then it also just really speaks to the special program it is and the relationships there. Again, it was just really, really moving. It was so well done. And it was just wonderful to see because you really are a treasure in women's basketball alone, and then certainly for Notre Dame, man, to see you honored that way and to have it be so moving. Like I said, it brought me to tears, and I know I'm getting a little extra sensitive as I get older, but, you know, again, I hope that's a video that you can keep for the rest of your life because it was just wonderful, wonderful, you know, to watch that whole thing. So congratulations on that for sure.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so it was beautifully done. I mean, the way they brought even pieces, you know, from my playing days and just the recap and, like you said, the words that Ruth Riley, my teammates, and Julie Henderson, my best friend and teammate, what they said, yeah. You know, and Coach McGraw on the staff, it was pretty special. And sometimes you don't really know the effect that you have until you're in a moment like that. And so I was just overwhelmed and just so thankful for that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the two little pieces just to finish on it, you know, one watching your son, that was just truly wonderful. But again, the part with Coach McGraw, you know, obviously we see it so many times in that leadership role and, you know, being so composed in the sideline, but to watch her really fighting, you know, to catch her breath and to fight herself because of, you know, just her feelings, it just doesn't get any better than that, really. And I think that's the part that stands out to most is when you just see the true sincerity that those people have for you. It's just special stuff. But anyway, I'll take you off that because I know you try and always stay humble and we'll move forward. But I have to get a couple of program updates, if you can. The status of Jackie Young with the ankle injury. I know that she suffered against Notre Dame. I know there was some talk she might come back against Toledo. Obviously, that didn't happen. She didn't play last night. So are you able to give any update on how she's doing and just an update on her ankle?
Yeah. She suffered the ankle injury, and we're kind of going day by day. She had some time off during finals week before we, but after DePaul, before we came to play against Toledo on Sunday. So it's pretty much day to day with the doctors and trainers, and she kind of got out in practice and still kind of just real very tender. And so you know, we tried a little bit last night, but it still just wasn't didn't feel really good for her. It was really, really sore. So that was kind of a coach's trainer's decision not to, you know, irritate it anymore. She'll have these next 5-6 days for this Christmas holiday break. And, you know, definitely after Christmas, she should be ready to go. But, you know, sometimes even with a lot of tape and she's been going in and out of the training room, kind of living in the training room, it still wasn't really 100%. So luckily it's just an ankle sprain. It's just a bad ankle sprain. So we expect her to be back after Christmas.
I want to ask you quickly. I know as a coach, you know, you see her go down on the baseline there when she was challenging a shot, and I just know as a coach, at least for me, you always think the word, you're like, oh no, please not another knee or whatever. And when you see the ankle, you almost have a huge feel of relief, and certainly the kid doesn't because now she's obviously been out for a couple of weeks. But I wonder if you guys go through that same thing because obviously with the prevalency of, you know, knee injuries in women's basketball, it's such a relief when you see that the ankle.
You're so right. It's a total relief. First of all, when she goes down, when anyone goes down, you want them to pop right back up. So when they don't, it's like, the trainer goes out. To me, I'm always thinking the worst from just my own personal experiences and just, you know, being a coach and watching so many different things that transpire in a game. But we were just happy MRI came back negative and, you know, that it was what it was diagnosed to be, just a bad ankle sprain. So we were super, super excited about that. But, you know, you hate to see anybody on the floor. So we were just, you know, happy that it's something that she can definitely bounce back from. Sometimes with ankles, might be something she deals with, for the whole season, but at least it's something that we can treat and just takes a little bit of time for it to heal, you know, naturally. So we're excited. You know, she's a special player. So unfortunately for her freshman year, she's had a couple little bumps and bruises, but definitely going to make her stronger. And she works really hard in the rehab and when she's coming back. So I know that she'll be good to go soon.
Yeah, the other thing with the ankle, as long as it's not a broken ankle, then you're like, okay, we can work through this. But you know, again, as you mentioned, as coaches, we're always a little paranoid. At least, you know, most of us are. There's a degree of paranoia for all the stuff we get. And, you know, when you have a freshman playing so well like her, obviously the break a little bit, you know, the fact that she's now going to be 2 or 3 and then you add, the holidays, you're always kind of hoping that you're always hoping that they can get right back on the horse as far as, you know, the rhythm and you know, the success she was having. So I know a little bit as a paranoid coach, you're like, oh, man, this is the last thing we needed with her. The kid was going so well. So you're hopeful that, you know, come after Christmas, she can kind of jump right back on and pick up where she left off. But the other play I have to ask you about, Allie Patberg. I'm not sure, you know, obviously fans across the country, you know, with Allie had the knee injury. Speaking of knee injuries, and, you know, she missed all of last year and then, you know, coming back this year, and then she's obviously been suffering from mono, so we haven't certainly, you know, heard about her, had the chance to see her kind of get back on the court and do her thing. But what's the latest with Allie?
Yeah, you know, with the ACL, it takes a full year to recover, and she was doing a really, really, really great job of just getting back in shape, getting her rhythm, like you said, like just finding her way with her knee, trusting her knee. And she actually got to a really good place, and then she – like you mentioned, she got sick, and so that sidelined her for a couple weeks. And so she was recovering from, you know, her being sick, and then that, and then getting back into the rhythm of practice. That's it. She's been having actually some really good practices, so we're hoping in 2017 that we can get her in the rotation. I think she can help us out a lot. She's a very smart point guard. She's worked really hard. It's just sometimes with knee injuries, it just takes that full year of recovery to feel strong mentally and physically. Sometimes it's more a mental thing. And I think that she's really turned the corner with that. It was just this little setback with the being sick, and obviously it's a little bit cold here. So we're happy that she's now being able to practice. And now we have a little bit of break, still get her healthy, just getting back in shape and in order for her to get through practice. But we expect her to help us out a lot, you know, in 2017. So that's going to be really good.
I got to tell you, Neil, especially with a staff full of mothers, do you guys give her a hug pretty much every day? Because after what she went through with the knee injury and then now having the mono to deal with when she was on the precipice, you know, coming back, I mean, that poor kid.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No, I was just going to ask you, you know, with a staff full of mothers, do you guys give her a hug on a daily basis because everything been through, you know, since she got to campus with the knee injury and now the mono on top of it?
Yeah, she's just, you know, especially last year being a freshman going through that. And for me, her being a point guard and also going through the knee injuries that I've gone through, we've had a lot of talks, just kind of, like you said, like motherly talks of just, I think for me, I'm an example for her that she can come back. And I think when you have a season-ending injury, sometimes you doubt how you will be on the court and physically how you're going to respond to that. So we've had a lot of candid talks about just, you know, maintaining her confidence and having her believe in herself and the journey. You know, this is just a process for her. But luckily, we do have a lot of mothers, and sometimes it's just, you just need just a word of advice or just, you know, like you said, like just a hug and a smile and maybe just grab some lunch or something like that just for her to feel good about what she's doing. And sometimes you lose a little bit of confidence not being on the court. So I think she's doing a really good job. She's got a great family support and great teammates that has her back. So she's going to be okay.
Yeah, she's one tough kid and full of character.
Yes,
so she's certainly relying on that. But, okay, now we'll talk about last night's game specifically. That's what replay is about. And I want to ask you, going into, you know, your staff's philosophy, going into a game against, you know, an example of a team like Michigan State that has one dominant scorer when you have Tori Jankowska averaging 22 points a game, and then they didn't have another player averaging even double figures. And so, Do you guys, you know, have like a general philosophy where it's, you know, let's try and take her out of it and make the rest of them beat us, or, you know, maybe obviously allow her to score a point and try and take. I know Gino was kind of talking about that, Gino Auriemma, a couple nights ago,
uh-huh.
They dealt with facing Ohio State and Kelsey Mitchell.
Right.
So I was just curious if you guys had, you know, a general philosophy or a philosophy going into the game and dealing with Jankowska and obviously with the rest of it, you know, being the one dominant scorer on that team.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a philosophy. Obviously, we feel like our defense is going to ignite our offense. So we definitely locked in on trying to find different ways to either frustrate Jankowska or at least to make it a tough night. We didn't want her to, and she actually did an excellent job. She's a tough, tough scorer, just somebody, a prolific scorer, somebody we really respected. We were going to try to do a lot of different things defensively against her, try to contain her as much as we could, limit her touches, but that's definitely our philosophy. We try to defensively strategize in ways to limit opponents' best players and make other players beat us and just, you know, try to throw different things defensively at them. So I thought, and then obviously just trying to find ways that we will be successful in the way that we score. But I thought our team battled last night. It was a really good, tough road win for us. Michigan State always plays us extremely well. It's a hard place to play. Big Ten, we have a lot of respect for Big Ten basketball. It's very physical, very different from ACC. So that was something that we knew going into the game. And having played Michigan State past couple years, even when they had aerial power, some other great scorers and great players for their program. So we were definitely locked in on Jankowska, and that definitely is the philosophy of trying to limit our opponents' best players and try to contain everyone else.
They keep popping up kids in the Big Ten, Rachel Banham and now Jankowska. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They keep getting these kids that are emerging as these lethal scorers. But I have to ask you, too, you know, was it kind of, you know, awkward, just weird for you guys, obviously? And you know, everyone knows, you know, Taya Reimer, you know, transferred to Michigan State, and then you guys had to play. Was it just weird to you guys overall just to see her, obviously, you know, just a few months removed from being a part of your program in a different jersey and having to play against her?
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, I guess from personal and the team, we try to approach it the way we approach every game. We wish Taya nothing but the best. She's an amazing kid.
Yeah.
You know, I had a chance to, you know, have a really good relationship with her during the recruiting process, her being, you know, not too far away from campus. But we understand the nature of this business, the nature of the game, and, you know, there's transfers that happen all the time. So we have always wished her well. You know, I know she was familiar with us. We're familiar with her. That was kind of the first time. And it's, like you said, such a quick turnaround.
We
try to keep the, you know, keep all the outside or just kind of keep the main focus of, you know, we played 40 minutes. We wanted to focus on the game and not allow the game to get bigger than itself as far as focusing on other things. But I think all of our players, you know, they respect Taya and or wish her nothing but the best in her family. And so I think we kind of approached it that way to make sure we were focused on the task at hand and not try to didn't want to get focused on anything else but the game, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it was just weird seeing her, you know, so quickly, you know, in a different uniform. It just must have been a little weird seeing a player you're so used to in a different uniform so quickly. But, you know, again, back to the game, I have to tell you, I thought, you know, the kid who's emerging for you guys, you know, this year, especially as a junior, that to me just continues to – you know, impressed me with her growth and her confidence is Catherine Westfeld. And I thought she did really specifically, I know everyone will talk about, you know, Mabry and her shooting and her three threes to start the game. But I thought Westfeld really put a stamp on the beginning of that game. She got two offensive rebounds that led directly to 6 points. One, she hit a cutting, you know, a cutting point guard for an N1, and then she hit Mabry. You got an offensive rebound and hit Mabry for the three. And just I thought she's really, you know, again, had the, you know, the double-double yesterday. And to see her rebound like that, especially against a high major physical team, she's really coming into her own and becoming just a huge factor in what you guys do right now.
She is. She's a glue player for us. She's somebody very versatile, and I think – you know, the games that we played this year, even with the loss that we took in a couple weeks ago, I think that really motivated her or kind of made her even a better player. Sometimes from a loss you learn a lot, and I think she reevaluated, you know, her game just of just bring in her a different phase of her game. Like you said, now she's looking to be a little bit more tougher, offensive rebound, and do a lot of other things to help us win. And I thought, like you said, like she was solid. We always feel like Kat is the glue for us. And it was just really nice for her to come out and play such a great offensive game, but also do the little things and play defensively, you know, getting a double-double with rebounds. That was definitely something that we're looking for. So I'm really happy that she's coming into her own with her confidence. Sometimes, you know, just playing against, you know, bigger, stronger post players because she's inside out. I don't think that really worries her. I think she's a hard worker, and I think that it's just showing that she puts a lot of work in before and after practice. A lot of people don't realize the stuff, that's the extra work that she puts into her game, and I'm just really happy that now everyone's seeing it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, the thing too is she's clearly in much better shape. She even had a couple plays yesterday running the floor. She had one where, you know, where she was hit for a quick layup going the other end, and it just, you can really see that her mobility is better. And I want to, you think that, you know, having 11 rebounds yesterday, she's averaging 6.7, I mean, but that's a great example that you can do that. Like, that shouldn't just be an aberration,
right?
You know, if you really commit to
it.
Because she can nip on the heels of, your leading rebounder there. And, you know, I think she really has a chance to kind of take that rebounding to another level if she sees herself that way.
She can, like you said, like it's nothing that you can teach. It's definitely just heart and hard work as far as being a rebounding in general, just the mentality that you need to have. And I think she has that mentality now. I think she's learning a lot, you know, being a veteran post now and upperclassman. You know, sometimes when you get to be upperclassman, this starts to click. And I definitely think that it's clicking for her. So super excited about that. And that's, you always want somebody to want to be able to step up in the rebounding category. So we're really happy that she's doing that for us now.
Well, that's the thing, and especially with the attention that Brianna, you know, requires, especially in those elite games, if she can create that niche where she continues to get, you know, three or four offensive rebounds, again, just the two plays I referenced before that led directly to 6 points. I mean, as we all know, those are back-breaking plays when you get offensive rebounds and they lead to those second shots and direct points. So, I mean, she really has a chance to, you know, to further her niche if she can continue to be consistent and be a factor on the old board that way. And it's just it's great to see, and it just continues to, you know, to be a mark of your program of kids getting better, because she's really flourishing now as a junior and getting the most out of herself, it would seem. So, you know, I want to ask now about, Erin Boley. I think you know she's one of my favorites, but to see her, you know, obviously she plays right behind, you know, Catherine in that, you know, in that forward spot, in that stretch forward. And I see now, and I know the announcers last night alluded to Muppet saying that she's starting to pick things up a little bit, and, you know, and maybe there'll be some more playing time available for her moving forward. But, you know, I saw it. First of all, she's clearly got one of the purest strokes in the country, not only from the perimeter, but that free throw. I mean, the kid, if she studies the art of getting fouled, she's going to create a niche for herself just that way, because she's literally water from the free throw line. It's practically automatic.
She is.
But the thing I'm noticing, Coach, is that she's getting more comfortable in a stance. You know, she's getting, you know, the high hands and especially getting the wide feet in a stance. And we had talked about it about a month ago when you had joined me. And this is a young lady who played a ton of zone in high school, probably hadn't been in a stance for more than 5 minutes her whole life. And so do you feel like on that end of the floor is where she's been? Obviously, that's the big area for you guys in gaining the trust in her, because you know what she can do offensively. But it was just the one thing that would seem like she needs to do is she's kind of hugging, you know, the kids a little bit. I know she got a foul called yesterday and got burnt down the lane on a right-hand drive because she was hugging the kids real tight. Do you feel like with her, you know, just coach to coach, there's a little balance there where obviously she wants to try and be aggressive and active, but where she's got to be a little careful because she's obviously still not a jet, where she's not, like, you know, in a kid's shirt that's going to allow, you know, that's going to put her in a compromising situation?
Yes. I think with every freshman, it's an adjustment. Like you said, like just different defensive schemes, defensive concepts or things that each team does differently in high school. So it's always going to be adjustment for freshmen. Even with Jackie, it was an adjustment just learning Coach McGrath's system, her defensive scheme. So I think that she's starting to understand where she needs to be. I think the biggest part of being a great defender, besides toughness, is making sure that you're smart and you're in the right position. You don't have to be the fastest person to be in the right position to take a charge, to be in help side, you know, those different things that have pressure on the ball. So I think she's starting to understand the concepts that we've been teaching her, and I think it's just a process. And once you start getting comfortable, I think once she continues to get comfortable, I think she's going to be able to see more time. I think, like you said, like offensively, she's special. But even, you know, both ends of the floor, you got to understand and gain, you know, trust with Coach McGraw, but also understand what's going on the floor. And I definitely feel like she's taken a huge jump in DePaul. She was spectacular. She's somebody that in 2017 is going to see a ton of more minutes. She just has to be patient, again, with the process. And I think that I'm encouraged with the way that she's rebounding even more so. But like you said, it's just knowing what she can do personally. You know, you can't get too tight. You have to give somebody a little bit of a cushion in order for you to be able to adjust with different players. And once she kind of figures that out within our own team scheme, defensive scheme, I think she's going to be really good. It just takes a little bit of time. And I think with Jackie being so athletic, she's picked it up a little bit quicker. But I definitely think Erin's she's right there. So she's definitely going to, especially, you know, we're putting her in a different position, learning kind of the forward spot, like you said. I definitely is going to be beneficial for her.
I got to tell you, Neil, and obviously when everyone looks at your team, you guys are always so methodical. You were methodical in that road win against Iowa, which I know you guys didn't play as well, certainly as the coaching staff would expect. And I thought last night was another methodical win, you know, balanced offense and, you know, and just methodical on defense too as well. And you guys keep it so simple with the things that you do that you know, the thing about you and UConn is that you pass so well, you play the game the right way, you play together, but you guys keep it so simple, especially on the offensive end with your two or three sets. And I love the middle-of-the-floor-centric offense because it takes away help defense. So, again, you guys are ahead of the rest of the country in terms of that and getting
that aspect.
But, no, I mean it because you guys clearly get it, that the middle of the floor, you know, just enhances your spacing. It takes away built-in help and, you know, and players kind of cheating off their players and stuff. And it's just, again, it's a pleasure to watch you guys. It's not only the success and the results and the high scoring. It's the possession for possession, you know, efficiency and just togetherness. It's just always such a pleasure. But I have to say, the exciting part about when you guys come back from Christmas in the second semester is the upside of the team in the terms of the kids we talked about. You know, Jackie Young, Boley, and Allie Patberg. I mean, those three girls provide an upside to your program because everybody knows about your starting five and, you know, and those pieces and how they complement each other. But this second semester, we just talked about, you know, the opportunity for Erin to, you know, to further create her niche and what she can bring, because the more trust and confidence she gets on the defense, I mean, most of the people across the country don't realize what an absolute weapon that young lady will be on the offensive end. Jackie Young is just an absolute, you know, impact freshman for sure. Well, what she can do offensively. And then, like you said, you know, if you can ever get Allie comfortable, you know, in the second semester, and especially by February and March, I mean, there's a lot of upside in terms of your depth and just, you know, what you can get off the bench with those freshmen.
It is. We're excited for that. We're just, you know, praying for a healthy 2017, keep everybody healthy, getting stronger. You said, like, they're going to be even more confident having that first semester under their belt, especially the freshman, and even Allie, because I feel like Allie's a freshman. She's not had a chance to be on the floor all year, only for a month last year before she tore ACL. So it's nice to have had that experience. Now we're going into ACC play after we play Chattanooga, and, you know, that'll be a challenge, and it's also going to be an exciting rest of the year and the beginning of our conference season. So we're super excited about the depth that we have. We're blessed to have that type of depth in almost every position. And you know, we have great leaders. You know, Lindsay Allen's playing with a sense of urgency. She's killing it right now, leading the country in assist to turnover ratio. She is just one of the reasons why we are so fundamentally sound. Besides the fact that I feel that Coach McGraw is just a wizard with the way that she knows X's and O's and puts our players in the right positions to be successful. But I also feel that Lindsay Allen is one of the best point guards in the country, leading the country in assist to turnover ratio. She's the hardest worker. Only time you really can slow her down is if she's on the bench. So we're just excited for that and excited to have so much depth. And just players that, you know, who just have great kids that really want to win, that they want to contribute, and they do it for each other. And so it's nice to see that that team chemistry and just it all trying to come together. So we're just praying for a healthy 2017 and just looking forward to what 2017 has in store for us.
Man, and the thing that Lindsay makes her special too, she's just so efficient. Matter of fact, a lot of times, especially in the big games, I wish she'd be a little more aggressive and drive a couple more times because she's so tough to stop as well. Just I want to keep you for just one or two more questions. You know, not to continue to bring Aaron Boley up, but we saw it a little bit last night where you guys went with Westfeldt and Boley when Brianna was out of the game. And I do see that as something, too, you know, moving forward in the second semester. Again, if Aaron can continue to, you know, to grow and gain confidence with rebounding and defense. But, you know, even against, you know, some bigger teams, I think, you know, when Brianna's out, that's a tough matchup with those two, the ability to stretch out to the perimeter. That's an interesting combination for you guys potentially moving forward, is the Westfeldt and Boley, you know, front line that you could go to, especially, you know, offensively. I want to see teams match up with those two. It's kind of, you know, a reminder for me when UConn has, you know, their front court that's tough to deal with on the perimeter. And as we know, most forwards and true bigs are not used to defending out there. So do you see, obviously, more potential for that combination of Westfeldt and Boley and then what they could do while Brianna's on the bench?
Yeah, I think Coach McGraw does a great job of just, you know, testing out different lineups, seeing the way that different fives mesh well with each other and the way that we run our offense. And we always want to make sure that we have, you know, kids that are not just one-dimensional on our team in general, but also even just on the floor, just trying a different look to see, you know, how to, like you said, stretching the floor. We felt like Michigan State might throw in a little bit of the 1-2-2 zone that they have been playing for the past couple games. So wanted to see what that looked like. And I think she does Coach McGraw, just kind of looking at different ways in order for us, in order for teams to not be able to match up with us and just, you know, trying different looks out. But so you might see a lot of different things in 2017, but definitely I think Aaron is a great compliment to anybody on the floor, and it's really, really great compliment to Kat with them both being able to shoot the three the way that they do.
Yeah, no, amen to that. And, you know, just, you know, before I let you go, what's the deal with your Christmas break? You guys played 2 days after on Tuesday and on the road at North Carolina Pizza. How quickly those kids, do they have to get back on Christmas Day, or how does that work for you guys?
I know, yes, and then they come back on the 26th. We're going to practice and then head out to Tennessee. So, yeah, I don't know. The schedule was a little bit tough this year, so I'm not sure how that happened, but we're excited. I mean, they'll have this whole break from now, so they'll get a lot of good rest and get some, you know, good home cooked meals and some family time, which they definitely need. You need that little bit of break, and I know that they're gonna be re-energized, and we're gonna be looking forward to having. We have two away games and actually three, so we're gonna be looking forward to having that home game back in 2017 for our fans. But we started the season off being at home for multiple games, so we're excited to keep getting better by being on the road. So,
yeah, and for the fans, you play the Tuesday after Christmas at Chattanooga, and then you got to travel in the heart of ACC country. You have a road game at NC State and then at Georgia Tech.
Yes.
So, again, you got to get a scurry back and get on, because, again, those games will not certainly be easy, and you jump right into ACC.
No.
Competition for sure. But before I let you go, I got to tell you, I've been following your girl Michaela Vaughn very closely. She's been, her and the Paul the Sixth have been playing in a bunch of big tournaments, and the kid is really shining. She's just like, you know, we had talked about a month ago, we feel she's a real steal out there. But her activity, her production, she's been terrific to start her high school season, you know, with Paul the Sixth. So again, a lot of reason to be excited about her.
We are so super excited about Michaela. Heard that she was the MVP of the game, and she got Game Classic and this past week. And so we were super. Coach McGraw was on our way out from the DePaul game, and actually all the flights got canceled, so we were bummed about that. But watched it online, so we were super excited for her and happy for her. She's one of those type of players that you just can't teach her work ethic from her motor. And we're looking for players like that because I feel like they just enhance everything. Everything that Coach McGraw does here at Notre Dame, we think that she's going to enhance and just bring that intensity and her potential. I think that she's the sky's the limit for her. I think she's just coming to her own. And I think when Coach Owens and Coach McGraw get their hands on her. I think she's going to have an amazing career here and beyond.
Yeah, and that transfer to pull the six will really help her, not only in terms of she's going to get great coaching from Scott Allen, but also just practicing against that look. That practicing against that loaded front line every day is only going to make her better. And so that seemed like that was a really, you know, positive and terrific move for her, and she's thriving early. And I got to tell you, you know, just before I let you go, I'm watching last night, and I would never put that kind of pressure or say she's going to be another Breanna Turner because there aren't too many like that. But she's a 2.0 mm-hmm. version because she's so active, athletic, and just plays so hard and, you know, mm-hmm. again, has that up and down the lane versatility as well and plays both ends. Just absolutely love her as a player, and especially going to your program where she's going to be truly developed. So, again, had to throw that in there because I know how excited you guys are about her, and she's off to a great start.
We're so excited for her and Danielle Patterson, but definitely just like you said, happy that she's thriving and happy that they both are going to be able to have a year under their belt with Catherine and Bree. They're going to learn so much from them.
Yeah, terrific. Well, again, I want to cut you loose. I know you got a lot to do before, you know, you got probably a lot of Christmas shopping to do, especially for your son over
yes.
the next few days. But, Neil, such a pleasure to have you on and, you know, to break down last night's game again. Thank you so much the day after.
You're welcome so much. Thank you. Thank you for all your support.
It's my pleasure, and I'll be following. Look to have you on again hopefully next month. Be great. Have a great Christmas, Neil.
Okay, you too. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, fans. There is Neil Ivey, the associate head coach at Notre Dame. And, you know, what a pleasure and honor it is to have her on again. I had her on my ladies' night show about a month ago to talk about their recruiting class. Again, she's also the recruiting coordinator at Notre Dame. And then on this morning to talk specifically about last night's win over Michigan State on the road, a methodical win for the Fighting Irish as they take down Michigan State 79-61. But Neil Ivey is just a true blessing in women's basketball. Just a wonderful, wonderful lady. Was a championship point guard from up at McGraw, and then now has just been a really distinguishable assistant coach. And I keep saying is going to be, you know, there's no doubt in my mind she's going to be a terrific head coach, and that needs to happen, you know, in the next year or two for sure. But Neil Ivey, just what a true pleasure and honor it is to have her each time here on my podcast. So thank you, Neil, for coming on. So, again, fans, you get a little bit more exposure to her, too, what makes her such a joy and, you know, to have on, and just what a great you know, blessing she is for Coach McGraw, too, in terms of just the mentor for her kids. She's so knowledgeable, such a winner as a player. And as a coach, so again, there was Neil Ivey, associate head coach at Notre Dame. But we're going to look to, you know, just recap, you know, some games from the last 24, 48 hours, notable games. So I'll start with, I usually start with UConn because they are the number one team in the country, and they have been certainly the standard in women's basketball over the last few years, if not the last, you know, 20. And it's not only just with the, you know, the success, it's also with the standard of play. But on Monday night, they faced Ohio State and had a pretty methodical. They got off to a little bit of a slow start in the first quarter. I thought coming out of finals, most of these teams coming out of finals, Notre Dame as well last night and had the road game. But they looked a little bit like a team that came out of finals in the first quarter, UConn against Ohio State. But then Katie Lou Samuelson certainly put her stamp on the first half, knocking down perimeter shots and got them out. And then, you know, Nafisi Akalia was just a stud, especially through the final three quarters. And she finished with 27 and 11. And, you know, and Katie Lee Samuelson finished with 26. But I thought, you know, Ohio State, again, and that's their fourth or fifth loss against ranked teams. And somehow they're still ranked, you know, number 12 in the country. And, you know, just to be honest with you, I don't get it. You know, it's nothing personal, but they just keep, you know, every game they've had against, you know, top teams, they've lost. And most of them, I think almost all of them handily, they just, you know, they got to get it together in terms of, you know, just honestly how they're coached. They're defensively, they're just not as collectively, they don't rotate as well, they're not as disciplined. And then offensively, there's certainly shot selections at times. Certainly Kelsey Mitchell is one of the dominant one-on-one players and offensive talents in the country. And, you know, deserves a ton of credit for making her game as lethal as it is. But, you know, again, their shot selection at times leaves a lot to be desired. And when you face these top elite teams, you know, the top 20 caliber teams, you know, shot selection does make an issue, and sharing the ball and, you know, reversing the ball and running some things so the teams can't load up, you know, makes a difference. And I feel like it continues to fail Ohio State in these big matchups. But certainly we'll see what they can do over the next 2 months to improve upon that. There's certainly a ton of talent there. But again, UConn just with another kind of methodical win for them, as you know, as they move forward. I believe it's 85 now wins, and they play tonight out on the road at Nebraska. And so, you know, you would certainly figure that they'll be comfortable in that game. And then it's the big matchup, you know, coming out of the Christmas break. They face on the road at Maryland, who's really only maybe had one game, you know, of note. The rest has been against mid-majors that they've handled. But certainly Maryland has the depth and the talent to be a formidable factor against UConn, and especially with it being a home game. And then you never know coming out of the Christmas break how teams are going to be with only 1 or 2 days practice. But if you remember back, Maryland gave UConn one of their real tests last year and took them kind of down to the last 3 or 4 minutes in a game at Madison Square Garden. So in the neutral court game, they really gave them all they want. And certainly with Breonna Jones inside and some of their size and how they pound the boards, they can certainly, you know, be a little bit of a threat to a vulnerability with UConn. Because if there is any one specific vulnerability, it continues to be, you know, the size and the rebounding at times, especially in the first half of games. They'll tend to have stretches where they can really struggle on the defensive backboards, and then Geno kind of gets into them. I think they get a little tougher. Plus, they've been buoyed by Natalie Butler. She's had a handful of games against quality top teams where she's come off the bench in the first half and stabilized them in terms of some inside presence, defending, you know, some true centers, and then also stabilizing the backboards as well. But again, when you look at that UConn team, you have both the two stud sophomores and Collier and Samuelson both averaging 20 a game. You have Collier also averaging close to 8 rebounds a game. And she, you know, both those young ladies right now look like first-team All-America type players with the season they're having so far. And then you have Gabby Williams, the 5'11 forward, who's averaging eight boards a game. And then she's also leading them in assists. And that's become a big deal to see her perimeter growth with her game, not only the face of jump shot that she's confident in now, but also she's become a legitimate playmaker, you know, from the forward position. Her passing acumen has really become distinguishable, and she's racking up 5 or 6 assists a game now. And that's just a big deal. You know, we were referencing with Coach Neil Ivey from Notre Dame, you know, a few minutes ago when she was on with me about, you know, how they have a couple of forwards in West Bell and Aaron Boley, the freshman, you know, who are certainly, you know, polished with their perimeter skills and their perimeter shooting, and how that's tough for bigs to guard. But Notre Dame certainly, I mean, UConn certainly is, when you look at the likes of Katie Lou Samuelson, a 6'3", you know, wing, but, you know, the tough matchup she is, and then Collier at 6'1" with her perimeter skills, you know, for bigs. And a lot of times they'll put, the other team will put their center on her, and there aren't too many centers that can deal with Nafisia, not too many players that can deal with Nafisia Collier and her versatility. But certainly when you talk about true bigs and centers, and then you also have you know, Gabby Williams at 5'11" with her athleticism and her versatility and skills, and now the playmaking. I mean, sometimes I think Geno could easily just, you know, their easiest play would be just to space and spread the floor and really dictate with those forwards taking other bigs off the dribble and then playing out on the perimeter. I just think it's a nightmare matchup. And, you know, in that Ohio State game, I thought in the first half, you know, the person I was watching it to, I said, you know, the best thing that was working for UConn consistently in the first half was when they were just driving Ohio State. You know, the individual defense for Ohio State was not exemplary. They were not getting rotations. And again, UConn, especially with those forwards and their perimeter skills, were having, and Kenyon Nurse as well, were having success driving to the basket. So, you know, at times I think UConn could just keep it simple and space the floor, especially against these teams with some real size, and just truly dictate with Gabby Williams and Nafisi Akalia driving and playing from the perimeter. But I also love how Gino continues to add in a few more post-ups for Katie Lou Samuelson. Again, at 6'3 as a wing, there just really are no wing matchups that can deal with her, you know, inside on the post-ups. Very, very tough there. And, you know, you continue to see the maturation and the development of the freshman Crystal Dangerfield, as she has now started the last two games with Tania Chung out with the concussion protocol. So, you know, Dangerfield continues to to progress and give them that sturdy point guard play. And the thing about her is that she really has the point guard acumen in terms of passing the basketball, especially in the open court, and she does provide that element of three-point shooting as well. As right now she is shooting, Crystal Dangerfield is shooting, you know, from the three-point line, she is 36%, 9 for 25, so she certainly has the capacity to make the three and then also gives them some playmaking from the point guard position as well. So, again, UConn continues to roll along, and they have Nebraska on the road tonight on the Big Ten Network, and then the big matchup against Maryland after Christmas on the road. Some other games that were of note, you know, last night, Cal on the West Coast took out Oklahoma in a furious comeback by Oklahoma, because Cal was up by like 20 for, you know, through the middle of the game, and in true control led by Christina Nigue, their sophomore All-American, you know, center, 35 and 15 last night, and she is just almost an unguardable presence inside and just a beast on the boards too, but Cal goes ahead and gets that win, and they hold off, you know, a furious Oklahoma fourth quarter comeback and get the win out there in Vegas, I believe, in a neutral court game. So Cal remains undefeated, Coach Lindsey Gottlieb's club. So that was an interesting game from last night. You also had Florida playing. Let me just get my bearings here, but you know, so that was one game. You also had a matchup between, let me see here, you know, some other games. You know, by the way, South Florida had a good win against Long Beach State. They bounced back after they got, Long Beach State two nights ago upset an undefeated South Florida team who had been rolling. And so that was a huge win for Long Beach State, 73-68, neutral court game. So congratulations to Long Beach State. South Florida bounced back with a win last night. You had Florida State rolling along. And, again, Florida State got a win a couple nights ago. And Leticia Romero, 22 points. They blew out a mid-major. 22 points, 5 rebounds from Leticia Romero, their point guard, 4 of 5 from 3. And if you remember, Florida State is the team that easily could have beaten UConn on the opening night at home, especially they played without Romero in that game and lost by 3. But certainly that could have been a different outcome, you know, if Romero had played. So that's certainly a team, again, especially with their defensive prowess and their backcourt, you want to keep an eye on. You had Virginia with a good, very good road win against Georgia in the last 48 hours. Again, Virginia now 8-2. So they got 13, 10, and 6, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 6 steals from Jocelyn Willoughby, the 6-foot freshman guard. Well, certainly that's a huge game for her of confidence moving forward, and she could have a chance to be a real impact player for them in the second semester as they move into ACC play. But I know just a really deflating loss for Coach Joni Taylor and Georgia, and a huge win for Coach Boyle and the girls down there with UVA as they get the 66-43 blowout win on the road at Georgia. You had Pittsburgh with a 71-46 win at versus UTEP. They had a couple wins in a row, and Brenna Wise, the 6-foot sophomore forward for Pitt, couple big games in a row. for them. So keep a little eye on them as they are now 9-3 as they come out and look to, you know, jump into Big East, to ACC play after the Christmas break as well. But Pitt, you know, it's a program that's on the rise a little bit. And again, the 6-foot sophomore forward, Brenna Wise, you know, is kind of a double-double kid for them. So keep an eye on them. A little mid-major program you want to keep an eye on that's off to a great start. They had a loss last night and now 11-3, but Stetson down there in Florida is now 11-3, and they had a big game a couple nights ago from 5'4 senior guard Briante Saunders, 23 points, 3-for-8 from 3, 9-for-16 from the field. She's averaging 17 points a game to lead them. So again, the Stetson women's basketball program off to an 11-3 start, and for a mid-major, you figure that's sprinkling in, you know, multiple games against high major teams that they're, you know, kind of required to play. So, congratulations to the Stetson team for their start so far this year. Another big game in the last couple days was, Northwestern traveling out to Gonzaga. An 8-2 Gonzaga team pulled off the win with a little bit of a comeback against Northwestern at home, and they got 16 points, 11 rebounds from Kiara Coudron, the 6'2 senior forward. So a big win for Coach Fortier and the Lady Zags as they take, a Northwestern team that's been off to a great start and an emerging program there under Coach McEwen. But Northwestern had been, you know, really rolling, and then they go out to Gonzaga, and Gonzaga has the comeback win. So that's certainly a big win for Gonzaga. You had a big win. I want to talk about Oregon State. They had a couple of wins over the last 48 hours. First, they kind of came back against UNLV. UNLV two nights ago could have won that game. They missed a couple of chippies and then just kind of let the game go down the stretch. But, Oregon State came back behind the play of Sydney Weiss, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 4-for-6 from 3, 5-for-6 from the free throw line in that win two nights ago, a comeback win against UNLV, and they were 8-1 in that. And then last night they beat Quinnipiac, a very feisty mid-major from my, neck of the woods here in the tri-state area, and Quinnipiac is a winning program in the MAC. The Metro Athletic Conference, and they won the conference a couple of years ago under Chris Sacre-Fabry, and they went out there with a tough, gritty team. I like their backcourt. They got a bunch of scrappy kids that they can shoot the ball, and just some tough kids there for Quinnipiac, and they gave Oregon State all they wanted for at least three quarters, if not three and a half quarters, and then Sydney Weiss once again. And by the way, Sydney Weiss became set a milestone out there last night, too. I think it was all-time three-pointers, maybe. I'll have to double-check with the milestone ones, but she set a milestone, a Pac-12 milestone last night. But she was huge down the stretch, big shots, big decisions, and kind of, willed her team to that victory. So the senior guard, 6'1 senior guard, Sydney Weiss, was huge for Oregon State as they get two wins on a neutral court out there in Vegas last night. Another mid-major, South Dakota had a big win, 97 points they put up against Northern Illinois with a 97-83 win. So congratulations to them on the win and dropping a 97 spot. That's certainly impressive. Other games we had there across the country over the last couple of days. Let me just, you had a huge win. I wanted to give a little shout-out to Dayton. And Coach Shauna Green, first-year coach, taking over for Jim Jaber late in September. And, they had a little bit of a tough schedule, but also just had it off to a tough start. New coach, some new players. Lost, obviously, a couple of really good players from last year's team. And that terrific mid-major program, Dayton, had a huge win, neutral court against Texas A&M yesterday, and we're up 15-20 for a majority of the game. So, a huge win for Coach Shauna Green and the Dayton program against certainly a high major, respected quality program like Texas A&M that's known for their defense. And, Dayton just had a very distinguishable performance on both ends of the floor. Jenna Burnett was terrific. Sasha Allen inside. They also had the kid Harris, the transfer from Penn State, where it was her big time with like a double-double. She's been huge for them on the board, a physical forward. You know, she was terrific and just a great overall win for the Dayton program. And they play today against Old Dominion, so it'll be interesting to see if they can follow up that performance with another strong one today against Old Dominion. And I'm hoping to have Shauna Green on maybe tomorrow, trying to get her on to talk about these couple days and certainly that big win against Texas A&M. So look out for a potential replay show tomorrow with Shauna Green from Dayton. But again, Alexis Harris, the 6'3 junior, the transfer from Penn State with 8 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks, and really, you know, helped, you know, solidify that frontline performance along with Sasha Allen, their 6'4 post player, but against a physical Hillsman for Texas A&M and just a physical frontline for Texas A&M. So congratulations to Dayton. Let's see what else we had there across the country. Give me a second here as I go through my little notes here. But, again, that Dayton win was 74-57 over Texas A&M. We talked about Notre Dame, certainly. Just other games, you had Syracuse with a 92-66 neutral court win over the aforementioned Old Dominion. And so you're now in that matchup, in that tournament down there. I believe it's in Florida. If not, I could be mistaken. Actually, you know what? Yes, it is in Florida. It's on the site of Rollins College. But today's matchups, you're going to have Texas A&M against Syracuse, and then you're also going to have Dayton against Old Dominion. But Syracuse with a 92-66 win against Old Dominion yesterday. They're now 9-3, and they were led by their, you know, All-America caliber point guard Alexis Peterson, the 5'7 senior, 27 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 7 steals. This two-way stud, one more time, 27 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 7 steals. She almost had a quadruple double. So Alexis Peterson is just having a big-time senior year for leading Syracuse, including a monster performance yesterday against Old Dominion. Impressive for her. I mentioned UCF, USF, South Florida, and the upset loss they had to Long Beach State two nights ago. They bounced back last night with a 63-54 win against Santa Clara. They are now 9-1. They were led by 6'1 guard forward Ariadna Pujol, who had 14 points, 13 rebounds. So congratulations on them on the bounce back. You had Oregon last night with a win against Mid-Major. They are now 10-2, and they were led by 5-man sniper guard, junior sniper guard Lexi Bando. The lefty is one of the elite shooters in the country. 17 points last night, 5 of 6 from the three-point line. She's shooting 52% from the three-point line so far this year, and again, with a volume of attempts from the three-point line. And they played last night. It looked like without Sabrina Ionescu, they're just a, you know, elite freshman guard who's had 2 triple-doubles already this year. So we're going to try and see what her status is. Hopefully it's something not too serious, and she'll be back on the court soon. They certainly need her. But Oregon holds off Idaho with a 73-70 win behind the 17 points and 5 threes from Lexi Bando, the junior 5'9 junior sniper. You had Indiana. That was what I was trying to remember, reference Florida earlier. But Indiana was just an impressive win against Florida, who's you know, reeling a little bit as they lost you know, one of their starters. It looks like quit the team and will not be back. But Indiana drops 102 points on Florida, and they win 102-88 in a neutral court win. And their All-American caliber guard, Tyra Buss, with a monster 35 points. 6 assists, Tyra Buss, 19 of 20 from the free throw line. I say that again, Tyra Buss was 19 of 20 from the free throw line. For any player to get to the free throw line 20 times is just a ridiculous number and just absolutely makes me smile, as I'm a huge free throw guy. But for a point guard, I mean, I call her Tiny Tough. This young lady, she's not all – she's kind of built a little bit thin, but, man, is she a tough guard and just attacks. And, again, 20 free throw attempts and cashes in for 19 of them on the way to leading 35 points. So Tyra Buss with a monster performance for Terry Moran
in the Lady Hoosiers, but she was certainly complimented by her other junior stud and all Big Ten caliber player, and that was Amanda Cahill, the 6'2 junior forward, the versatile forward at 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. So against a quality Florida team, you had Buss drop 35 and get to the line 19 times, and you had Amanda Cahill with 21 and 10 and 5 assists, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line, 9 of 16 from the field. So certainly that 1-2 combination repping strong for Coach Terry Moore in Indiana against Florida in a neutral court win. You had Oklahoma State with a 63-57 neutral court win against Long Beach State last night, and that's in that same tournament, as I mentioned, Florida's in. But now Oklahoma State now 9-0, and they were led by 6'4 junior center Kaylee Jensen with 22 points, 11 rebounds, 10 of 18 from the field. So Kaylee Jensen, big game, at 6'4 junior center, 22 points and 11 rebounds for Oklahoma State, who remained undefeated. You had Mississippi State remaining undefeated, the number 5 team in the country under Vic Schaefer. They beat Alabama State, pounded them 90-47, but their All-America caliber wing player, Victoria Vivians, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 of 12 from the 3-point line. So, again, Vic Schaefer's crew at Mississippi State remains undefeated, number 5 team in the country. I had mentioned Pittsburgh earlier. Again, they had another win last night, 71-65 over McNeese State. I had mentioned Brenna Wise, this 6-foot sophomore forward. She had the 25 points, 5 rebounds against McNeese State. Big win for Bucknell as they beat Manhattan 69-64. But here's the story on Bucknell. It's their 6'2 sophomore post player, Caitlin Slagus. This young lady is having a big, big sophomore season so far, and she's putting up some double-doubles. But look at these listen to these numbers from Caitlin Slagus, the 6'2 sophomore post Bucknell. 16 points, 13 boards, 8 assists, 5 blocks, 4 steals. So, again, Caitlin Slagus, a name to keep an eye on and to remember for Bucknell, 6'2 sophomore post, 16 points, 13 boards, 8 assists, 5 blocks, 4 steals. I don't care who you're playing. That's a monster performance. Again, they beat Manhattan 69-64, but she's been putting up similar numbers to that, double-double numbers and blocks pretty much nightly, you know, of late. So keep an eye out for Caitlin Slagus and what she does this year for Bucknell. You had Green Bay, the Green Bay Phoenix, with a big win against Butler as they beat them down 61-34. Nice defense by Green Bay as well. They're certainly known for their shooting there at Green Bay. But 6-foot senior forward Mayrin Craker with 17 points, 3-for-4 from the 3-point line. She's averaging 17 points a game. The senior, 87% from the free throw line, 34% from the 3-point line. And so, again, Mayrin Craker leading the Green Bay Phoenix, who are now 9-2 over Butler with an impressive 61-34 win. And again, Green Bay has given some high major teams all they want, including Notre Dame. They went to South Bend and basically went toe to toe with them through 4 quarters and gave Notre Dame all they wanted. But again, they're being led by Mayrin Craker, the 6-foot senior, versatile senior forward. 17 points last night, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. But again, she's averaging 17 points a game, you know, and some balanced scoring there with the Green Bay Phoenix. And she's shooting 80%, just a true sniper, 87% from the free throw line, 34% from the 3-point line with a volume of attempts. You had the UNC women, with a blowout win against Jacksonville, who's had a pretty good mid-major team and a pretty good start to this year, but they now go to 9-2. Sylvia Hatch's girls, and they were led by 5'10 sophomore guard Destiny Walker, 25 points, 4 assists, 9-for-10 from free throws, 7-for-12 from the field. So Destiny Walker, the sophomore, with a big night for Sylvia Hatchell and the UNC women, as they are now 9-2. I mentioned Oregon State. You know, a freshman to keep an eye on for them is my girl Kat Tudor. Followed her through high school, and you know, one of the premier freshman snipers in the country. She had back-to-back threes last night to help create a separator in the second half for Oregon State. But, you know, she's off to a strong start, getting a lot of minutes for Coach Ruwek, and one of, again, a six-foot wing, two-guard, Cat Tudor, one of the premier shooters, freshman shooters in the country. Excuse me as I cough there. Big win for Ole Miss yesterday, 66-38 winner against Austin Peay. They now go to 10-2. They were led by 5'10 junior guard Crochet Rowe, who has previously been with the Oregon and Kentucky programs. But Crochet Rowe, the junior for Ole Miss, and Coach Inchel had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 8 of 11 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw lines, all off the bench. So Ole Miss gets 20 points from Crochet Rowe off the bench, and they go to 10-2. Again, I had mentioned Cal earlier with the win against Oklahoma, 82-74 out in Vegas. Again, 6'4 center Christina Nigue, All-American caliber, just an absolute stud. Rebound, scoring, block shot. She had 32, 5 and 15, 16 of 22 from the free throw line. Again, 22 attempts. We talked about Tyra Buss getting there and going 19 for 20 last night. You have Christina Nigue, you know, against a big, you know, Oklahoma team, including they have a 6'8", 6'9", freshman, Kim and Mulkey, last name Mulkey, but she was no answer for Enigwe, who put up 35, got to the line 22 times, made 16. You love to see that percentage, and she was also 8 of 19 from the floor, but Cal now goes to 11-0 with that big win. You know, and so those were some of the games over the last 24 to 48 hours. You know, in women's basketball, that were notable, you know, and some of the performances. And there'll certainly be a few more today as you have some neutral court games and some quality matchups going. And again, you have the number one team in the country, UConn, back at it today on the road at Nebraska, who's kind of struggling under a first-year head coach. But, you know, certainly, but they have a terrific freshman post player in Shepherd. That's a double-double kid and can score and might pose them some problems, you know, through the game with her size and strength and her scoring ability. But certainly you would expect UConn to win comfortably in that game. And they headed to the Christmas break. And then, as I mentioned multiple times early in the broadcast, they head to the big, you know, matchup with Maryland on the road after Christmas. So, again, thank you to everybody who tuned in to this latest edition, this Wednesday, December 21st edition of Replay. As we want to once again thank Neil Ivey, who was my special guest here at the top of the show and stayed for about a half hour talking about the team and specifically last night's road win at Michigan State, where they won 79-61 and were led by Michaela Mabry and Brianna Turner. Both had 19 points, and they also had a strong performance from Catherine Westfeld with 12 and 11. And you had, you know, Lindsay Allen with her typical 9 and 6. She had 6 assists, 9 points, and her also had 5 rebounds as well. And then they got 11 points. Arike Ogunbowale did not start the game, so she came off the bench and gave him 11 points. They started Michael Johnson. You know, a lot of, I'm pretty sure that had to do with defense against Tori Jankowska, the All-America caliber two guard for Michigan State. And, you know, she came in averaging 22 points a game, and she scored 21 last night, 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, and she played 39 minutes. But I know they started Johnson. I think it had a lot to do with trying to match up defensively against Jankowska, the stud two guard for Michigan State. But again, thank you to Neil Ivey. Again, just a true treasure in women's basketball and one of the elite assistant coaches, associate head coach for Muffet McGraw and Notre Dame. And again, just a wonderful, wonderful woman and going to be a terrific, terrific head coach when given the opportunity. And it came close this past offseason. You got to expect, if not in the next year or two, that Neil Ivey will be leading a program soon, and look forward to that, as I expect you know, her to be a distinguishable head coach. But thank you to Neil Ivey for joining me, and thank you again for all the hardcore fans who tuned into my podcast. Look for a potential ladies' night podcast one of the next couple of nights, potentially Friday, coming Friday, as Brett McCormick comes back off the road. Today he's spending his last day out in Arizona for the big Nike Tournament of Champions event out there. And then I think he's be traveling, has some games to see on Thursday as well. We're going to try and see if we can squeeze in a ladies' night podcast to cover the landscape of the girls' high school basketball and have Brett McCormick report in from the Nike Tournament of Champions with, you know, just a loaded event with Nike, top Nike teams from all across the country. So look out for promotion, you know, Thursday and into Friday for a potential ladies' night show there. And then, again, there might be a replay tomorrow. I'm trying to see if maybe if I can get Shauna Green from Dayton to come on and maybe one other guest. Dayton with a huge win over Texas A&M yesterday, and then they have a game this afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern against Old Dominion. Would love to get Shauna Green on to talk about that Texas A&M win, and then, you know, hopefully for them, a win today over Old Dominion as well. So hope everybody has a great rest of the week, and certainly want to wish everyone a happy Christmas if you don't hear from me before then. All right, take care, everybody. Be safe out there. Coach Bill signing off.
Ladies of the game, 3-point shot, putting players to shame. Crossover hesitation, peering the speed. Ooh, that girl done did it again. Swish. Oh, lady ballers gonna hype it this year. On the court, off the court, give the space, nothing less. Put your game to the test. Lay them ballers working the game. Everybody represent, lady ballers.